listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 31st. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. And as usual, I'm glad to be here. I can't believe May 31st.
I know.
End of May already, 2023.
Every time I say the date, it always kind of takes me aback, you know, just a little bit. But so happy to see those joining us live. Already have a great chat going. Appreciate you being here. And thanks to those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Of course, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Tonight's topic, interdimensional beings. I always love it when we get a little X-Files.
I know, I love this topic. Before we get started, though, I'd like to remind everyone that next Wednesday, that's June 7th, we're going to have Wendy, our card keeper, on as a guest, and we're going to talk about, you know, patterns and the cards that we draw, self-discovery cards and tarot, and we're going to see what the first part of this year has brought to us. So just say that right off the top of the program here.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. And, of course, there's no backing out now, Wendy. So, and we're looking forward to having some more guests coming up in the future.
Dr. Mike.
Exactly. I was about to say Dr. Mike. We'd gotten him on air, you know, on the spot to agree to it. I'd gotten an email from Tabitha and with a good topic idea, and so I'm looking forward to having her come on. And that's, and I'll say also, shame on me a little bit. I had been negligent and diligently checking my email inbox, so I was a little late getting back to her, but hopefully we can find a good time as well. And yeah, so if you are listening and if you're interested and you have a good topic, shoot me an email. You know, we're always interested in what we can, you know, what we can talk about, what we can explore. And of course, my email is drmichael@icmh.org. So tonight's topic.
Is there a dot in there after the DR? Or just Dr. Michael?
No, just all. Dr. Michael. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah, good call out. All right. So, interdimensional beings. You know, I think that this is going to be a wide-ranging discussion, but I think that, Dr. Vicki, you made a really good point on where we can kind of start out tonight, and that's in kind of defining what are we talking about when we are talking about an interdimensional being.
Well, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question. You know, people say, what do you mean interdimensional being? What is an interdimensional being? And because we live in this 3-4D reality of, you know, kind of what's in front of your face, you know, straightforward movement. And that sound like interdimensional beings, there's life between the layers, so to speak. Now, kind of, you know, your conventional psychology might kind of deem that as some kind of psychosis, you know, but people who are psychically attuned or have had, let's say, odd experiences that they can't explain, but they seem so real. Again, we have to be pragmatic for a second to say that, you know, educational or, you know, common psychology doesn't necessarily acknowledge interdimensional beings. As metaphysicians, we address this as people can't be all making up that stuff.
Yeah. I always think of it as the bell curve of probability. You know, there are probably a lot of certain instances where it could be explained otherwise, but there's always going to be the end of the spectrum, the end of, you know, the smaller probability of real events.
Well, from experience as a child, my imaginary friends never went away, and it wasn't, in my view, a matter of psychosis. However, it might be a matter of survival to some degree to have, you know, pet friends that you make up in the mid-world. Mm-hmm. However, the voices that I would hear and the beings that I would have experiences with would tell me what's going to happen, and I would observe and watch what's going to happen. So there's two things I learned. One is natural consequence, because that's a really big deal, of how we do have this inner capacity to gauge what is a natural consequence from an action, cause and effect. But the other is like these random other things. How would I know that? Except somebody told me that that would happen. And of course, you don't necessarily tell people that. But even then, when I would tell my mother or other people, I was, you know, possessed by demons. And so there's, you know, there's that part of it where you're talking, I believe it was talking to the spirit world. As I began doing readings, I met all kinds of people, Michael, who had stories. And let's say the first one that comes to mind was a girl who came to me. She was only about 15, 16 years old, which is a very, you know, very tenuous age, mm-hmm. adolescence. But she, you know, the Men in Black kind of cliche?
Right.
She had this man in black following her, appearing in her dreams, and she honestly believed that there was an alien. She wouldn't go anywhere without her mother escorting her, and she would see him in the mall, point him out to her mother. Her mother would see him, and your typical black hat kind of appearance. Now, was that an interdimensional being? Was that otherwise? I believed her. There was so much in her demeanor and her conviction to it that, and it never wavered. And I saw her as a client several times and, you know, calming her down and just empowering her, you know, that whomever this is,
right,
doesn't have any more power over thee than you allow it to get, and to not live in fear. But what happened with this girl, she evolved to be extraordinarily psychic. And matter of fact, I was in touch with her about 10 years ago. Now, you got to understand, this is like 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she eventually moved to Hawaii, of all places, and got married, had a family. But you want to talk about somebody pursuing metaphysics and everything in between, because she was compelled. But psychic, oof, that girl had an intuition about things. But there was a point where she was very on the edge of having a bit of a breakdown, because what's real, what's not real. And to me, she was the perfect example of trying to sort out what is a human reality perspective versus an interdimensional reality. And she managed to adjust herself as a human being, knowing that these were experiences. But in her view, it was an otherworldly being,
right,
not someone of this world.
When you say of this world, you mean extraterrestrial or interdimensional?
You know, that's a good question because there is a distinction. Extraterrestrial meaning those who can travel around in our dimension versus those who can move between the dimensions. And I almost believe, Michael, that anybody extraterrestrial has the ability to be kind of intergalactic, you know, moving between those. But again, that's not what we call the spirit world. Spirit world can be considered an interdimensional being.
Right. And I think it's a matter of semantics largely between, you know, what you would define as magic and technology, you know?
Yeah. The other client who came to me again back in, this is about almost 25 years ago, had been in a severe car accident. Which actually she was hit by a car, hit and run, when she was 17. And the experience she had in the moments after impact was a blue being came to her and told her the entirety of her life. Hmm. In other words, she lived the life before her. You know, it's like you live your past for a minute. This was living your future. And she had a lot of issues around this. You know, she got married. She had a number of children. The money that she came into from this accident, because she always lived in pain, had many surgeries, especially on her legs. But always trying to prove those predictions wrong. And unfortunately, I have to say this, she did just a few years ago die of a drug overdose.
Wow.
And because it haunted her so much in living too much between the worlds, trying to be here and grounded, but haunted by everything of her future seemed to play out, even though she fought that.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. She didn't want that to be her life. She wanted to feel like she was in some kind of control. And that was the most fascinating, I think, example of my lifetime where, and I've never encountered anything like that otherwise, where knowing your entire future, well, it almost lends to a kind of determinism in a way that I don't have any answers to this. I've just had a lot of questions because is the life determined in some way, that essence of energy that floats through? And I believe that each of us is on our own ride. But who she married, how she married, the kids she had, the miscarriages, you know, the stillbirths. And she eventually had six children. But of a very affluent family, I might add. And yet, you know, she knew all this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of specifics are you aware of that she knew? Did she knew the broad strokes, or I mean,
she knew she'd lose the child. She knew that which one of the twins would live and which one would not. Mm-hmm. And yet, when these events happened, it added to this complexity, you know, this conundrum that she lived in. And, of course, addicted to painkillers because of the accident and trying to get through her life.
Yeah.
And living in alternate realities. And so very specific things that she said. And, again, that moment, and, again, it was just a couple of moments with this blue being. And we talked about it at length over several years that she was my client, and doing, you know, some kind of counseling together, working on things, trading up for addictions, you know, and so
right.
on. But and she was doing quite well for a while, and as I moved to another province and so on, but she collapsed kind of into herself, but. It was probably 2 or 3 minutes, she believes, that she lived her future life, that this blue being showed her. Now, what I have to think of also is in predicting one's life in that essence of energy that's going forward, that I like to believe that she was destined for greater, better, more. and kind of selected in a way. But she wasn't up for that.
Yeah.
You know? That wasn't, in other words, her she couldn't intellectualize it and reconcile it emotionally. So rather than rising into this occasion of doing wonderful things with this insight to her life and managing it as best as possible, she fought it. So that's when you collapse on that. But that was an extraordinary client of mine.
It's an extraordinary story. A series of events, not to say it's a fabrication, but it's a good... it's a very interesting tale, and I also think about a couple of things that, as it's described, there are things that would not apply to, the common phrase that does come to mind, which is self-fulfilling prophecy. There are things that she wouldn't have had control over to self-fulfill in that example. I also think of determinism as kind of a hindsight thing. In general, if we're going to talk
Maybe.
About it, because I think it's easy to look back and say, well, of course, that's what happened. But in the moment, it's still being written. But I digress. I do think there might be a burden to that, of living with that.
Yeah.
And of course, it would drive you to escapism in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But, and I do want to kind of come back to a couple of things that Dr. Zach had put in chat, too. But, interdimensional beings, they kind of encompasses a wide swath. And Dr. Mike had put in interdimensional beings depicted as having advanced knowledge, abilities, or technology compared to what we are familiar with in our three-dimensional world.
Mm-hmm.
And interdimensional, are we talking about, entities that exist in a alternate reality, kind of like a multiverse type thing, or something that has... something that exists beyond, the dimensions that we're familiar with, the three dimensions plus time, is it something that exists outside of time? And what kind of existence is that?
Well, so, I think that's a profound kind of distinction to make of, well, we think from our view of interdimensional, we're still thinking from our reality. We're not necessarily talking about time frames and alternate realities. We're talking about inter-realities.
Right.
In other words, ones we can kind of move through, as opposed to, there's 12 of me existing in alternate realities.
Right. So this would be something intertwined with our reality of the multiverse
that
it exists. And I think that makes a lot of sense, too. And coming back to what Dr. Zach was saying earlier, talking about... demons, and I think that I want to just touch base on that word itself here in a sec, but talking about Hollywood paints demons in one way or the other, but the word comes from Greek. They were not spirits in that lore, but more terrestrial. Of course, his view is colored by the Christian narrative, and I think the word itself invokes a certain emotion. Where, is it being a demon? Back in the old Jehovah's Witness days, it was commonly said that things like UFOs and ghosts were demons trying to play tricks on you. So what would define a demon? Is that just an evil spirit? Is it, does it have to be intertwined with an Abrahamic theology?
Well, maybe lizard people would be considered demons. I don't know.
I mean, so would you define a demon as something that has an objectively evil intent or harmful intent?
The
word is fraught with danger.
Yeah. Here's what I think Santana says it really well in the chat. Some humans, we can say, definitely carry dark energies. Everything is dark and light. But a demon might just be dark energy. And I think that it's my perspective that, where there's some unlikable people, there's unlikable spirits who've got issues.
Yeah, undoubtedly. And, especially if some of these spirits are, the remains or the altered being of a human being.
I have twice... in my life experience to look at a human being where I believe they were evil, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And both times I saw the whites of their eyes gone. It's just totally dark eyes. Now, is that some kind of a vision thing with myself and what I'm looking at and how I translate it? I mean, I'm just being pragmatic again. Mm-hmm. But no conscience, zero conscience of these human beings at end of life. And I mean, it's quite alarming to really believe you're looking at the face of evil, something that is without light, like truly. And I think that when somebody like that passes on, could they be considered a demon? Spirit with issues.
Yeah, and that's where we get into definitions, like how you define the word. You know, some words in our culture have such a history, a baggage, a weighting, that it's hard to use them. I would say hard to use them effectively. But yeah, actually, absolutely, like what Santana said, it's a matter of energy, and I also think a large matter of perspective. There are a lot of people, you know, human beings, we look at each other as kind, good people, but I think a lot of animals would probably look at certain people as demons and from their perspective.
You know, so. I have to add this too, though. We see it from a point of fear when we hear the word. Mm-hmm. It's a fear thing. And I'm going to be perfectly honest with people. I mean, I know my dark side. Yours can't scare me.
Right.
So if you know who you are, you look at something that's got a dark energy, it doesn't scare you.
Yeah.
When you own your own stuff, nobody else is pale. Everybody else is pales by comparison.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's, you know, some survivor skills might come into play, but that whole freak out, be afraid stuff just doesn't work for me. I don't know why. It's just in my lifetime, you don't scare me. I'm more afraid of me for you.
Well, it's kind of acknowledging the little bit of demon we have inside of us, right?
Well, we all have that, you know, survival kind of, you know, primitive, animalistic kind of thing. But if you've grown up with issues, you know, if you've been living on the streets, if you have an abusive childhood, you know, any number of those things, and that still is in you to survive.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, so when you come across these situations, you know, you can, Wendy's just saying, negative people scare me. She said, that'll send me running. Wendy, I laugh at them. And I'm not saying I'm not aware. You know, the hair on the neck, my neck can stand up. You know, I get kind of like, I'm staying away from that one. Negative people don't alarm me. I just know that I have a limited amount of interaction with them, and whatever my role to play is, I'm not taking them home for Sunday dinner, so it doesn't bother me. So it's just, we're going to encounter negative people all the time, and rather than thinking about fear, think of it more as the alarm bell. You know, your instinctual alarm bell goes off to say, don't go there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, but we're getting a little bit off track
in
matters of how we interpret what energies are. I'd like to, unless you want to read what Dr. Mike has written there as a side note, Mike, I think that's really important.
I had wanted to touch on that as well. And a few thoughts swirling around, but yeah, let's go ahead and touch on Dr. Mike's note first, where he mentioned, that in theoretical physics, the concept of extra dimensions beyond the three spatial dimensions we're familiar with has been explored in certain models. He cites examples such as string theory, brain cosmology, and that these models suggest the existence of additional hidden dimensions, which could potentially harbor entities or phenomena beyond our perception.
Exactly.
So right back to what you were talking about. This discussion being about interdimensional meaning still intertwined with this reality, but in parts of the reality that we cannot perceive. And we know that there are many parts of our reality that we cannot perceive, both in the physical world, not to mention this, you know, the other dimensions of this world. The other thing that comes to mind when I'm listening to this discussion about fear is, you know, one of my favorite quotes is the famous line from the Pearl Harbor speech by Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I know it's, you know, maybe somewhat simplistic, but it's still powerful nonetheless. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Not to say that that horribly venomous spider that's lurking there, you should just, cavalier. But there's a difference between giving into fear and understanding caution and being smart and rational. And I do really believe in that. The other thing that comes to mind, we talk a lot about interdimensional beings and, these things about spirits, demons even, and a lot of people are afraid, how can they hurt you? You talked about people that grew up with a hardscrabble life, people that know pain in this world. It makes me think of a joke that Ricky Gervais had tweeted once. It was on Halloween, and he was talking about, remember that this Halloween that spirits can't hurt you and going on this and that. And then he says, but murderers can hurt you, so maybe lock your doors. And that just, I get why people might be afraid of the unknown, but there's also plenty of horrible things in this reality that we face and we stand up to. And we can do the same with that. And just like you had said earlier, especially when it comes to these entities, in every example, people who assert their power, are not harmed. People that don't give into it.
I'm going to share this. I went out for a break I worked at the hospital today, and I went out for a break. I go outside to my car, I sit down there, and have my lunch and away from everything. It's a debrief time. And as I'm walking across the parking lot, I feel this energy of somebody skipping alongside of me and saying, hey, how are you doing? And I went, oh, and in my head, this is the whole thing about when you're talking about interdimensional beings, everybody, even I question everything. I'm saying, am I imagining this? Or is there a spirit skipping alongside of me? And so I decide, okay, I'm going to keep walking. And I'm going to say, look, don't talk to me. I don't want you to talk to me. Now, if I told that to a psychologist, they'd want me on medication. But I'm talking to this entity, and they got this immediate, they got pissed off. Well, you're not going to talk to me? I said, no, I don't want to talk to you. Don't bother me. You can't follow me around. You're not following me home later either. So, no, I'm not talking to you. I don't want to talk to any dead people in the hospital. And now, if I was making it up, and this is how I analyze myself, if I was making it up, it would be more in line with a more linear, natural experience. Like, number one, they wouldn't be skipping, they'd be walking. Number two, they wouldn't be irritated with me that I won't talk to them, because my mind won't make that up. Does that make sense? It's like having an interaction with a human being that's unpredictable, as opposed to something, an interaction that's
reasonable and sane.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I kept walking, and I could feel the energy lingering behind me now. And I went, oh, yeah, I'm not out of my mind. That was the spirit, and I just want them to go away. I'm not talking to them. We're not friends. You're not coming home with me.
Yeah, really.
And it's I've made that a point working there, is I'm dealing with people, not spirits. I'm not on any kind of mission to help folks or talk to them. It's not my gig. So that's my rule for me. But when it does happen, that rarity where it kind of blindsides me for a second, I go, I acknowledge it, but I analyze it. No, it's not me. It's real. I'm not making this up. This is something that's happening. And let it go. And I think that's where we have to, when we're having experiences, it's reasonable to question ourselves, not to fall into it and start babbling like, oh my God, I'm talking to spirit. It's to understand that there is this mid-world of all kinds of mid-worlds. And if we're open to that, then it's going to filter through us. And if that makes sense, we're going to be touched by that. So, I don't know. I think also that there are things that can manifest in a physical form, Michael, that in a blip, I've had these experiences too. But this other story that comes to mind, and I really want to touch on this before we close today, is of my adopted indigenous family in the Rocky Mountains. My adopted sister's sister had gone over to the lake, was sitting there, you know, kind of chilling out. And a Sasquatch, she could smell him first. Sasquatch came up behind her, and he was standing there, and she shrugged and kept looking at the lake and, you know, collecting a few things around her. And then he sauntered off. And I looked at her when she told me the story. I said, is this normal? She goes, we see them all the time. She said, they're interdimensional beings.
Yeah.
They go into the dimensions. And this is normal. In indigenous country, that's a very common perspective of, you know, it's like they'll walk right into a tree and disappear.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because one thing I did want to touch on, and we've kind of run out of time, is the First Nations, you know, different, I don't know how to define them. I was going to say mythical, you know, creatures, mm-hmm. but that would imply that I'm trying to say that these experiences are not true. That's not my intent. But, you know, there are many that come to mind. You know, there's obviously different beings for different tribes, different peoples, different regions. You have the Skinwalker is a famous one. You have Wendigo. You have the Thunderbird, all these different things. And just like Sasquatch, Bigfoot, you know, it is provocative to think about.
It is. And the thing is, no matter whether you feel you've had an interaction with extraterrestrials, intergalactic spirits, you know, alternate beings, is just check in with yourself, and you know it in your head. Is that something I would make up? Am I off my game? By whatever, it's do that self analysis for a second, but then still move with it and allow the experience to take you into an otherworldly kind of insight, if you will, but don't try to attach an outcome or a conclusion. That's, I think, the error of people's ways. It's, if you think you're looking for a final answer, you're going to get stuck.
Yeah, well said.
And so it's be open-minded and know that there could be any number of explanations for it. So, but just go with it, you know? That's why I say go with the experience.
Well, that's frankly good advice for a lot of things in life. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't make assumptions. No. Don't think that you know based on limited events and your preconceived notions.
Exactly. So. And that's because it might be something you hadn't thought of before. Mm-hmm. You know, Michael, it's no different than when I was 18 years old and I took a ride in a dream, I thought, in this long cylindrical thing with windows. And it was this real, I can think about it right now and still kind of relive it. It was that real to me. And for many, many, many years, I've asked people, have you ever heard of that? Have you ever heard of this? Have you ever, you know, something like that? Well, one day, of course, on the internet, I see people talking about the UFOs, long cylinders with windows. And I went, I've been on that ship. I know exactly what that is. But it took years. I mean, I was so perplexed, and it haunted me because it was so real. But that's what I mean. It took like 40 years for me to see, oh, that's what it could have been. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just keep those questions in your mind that you never know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, first thought I had when you said, oh, I know that ship, is that you were going to say, and they forgot to pick me back up, those SOBs.
Hey, I'm going to add in here before we got people putting their names in the chat for us to draw cards, and we're going to go on that right away. But I want to say something that Jerry has written in the chat, and thanks for sharing this, Jerry. She says, Sasquatch used to babysit me when I was just a child, and my father took me with him while he went deer hunting and left me alone at the camp. They would play mud cakes with me. I called them hairy men, and I didn't know until I was older who they were.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, you see? And then she's added here, it was at Mount Shasta. And now, as wild as some people might think that is to share, that is not uncommon in what I call, you know, for my indigenous people, it happens all the time. And it's just, in some worlds this is normal, mm-hmm. but to the general public that would be nuts.
Well, it comes back to the bell curve of experiences, and I would suggest if we're going to go along with along the premise that Sasquatch is interdimensional, perhaps they do not appear to people that could potentially be a threat or that would react harshly.
Well, the late medicine man Dennis Lightning would tell me that there's three kinds of Sasquatch or Bigfoot, and there's the meat eaters. There's the kind ones, and then there's another type, and he said that are quite violent. And even the meat eaters can be violent, but not so much. So he'd say on the earth that there are three types. And so, I mean, I'll go along with that. He obviously knew more about stuff than I did. I saw him do stuff that was like, I don't know how he did that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Very interesting.
It is. So there's any number of possibilities, and you know, when we open to other realities.
Very good. And I would just end that with a fundamental principle to keep an open mind. Remain grounded, but keep an open mind. But that is that time.
We've got some people in the chat looking for an inner Oracle self-discovery card and a mm-hmm. tarot card and see if there's any messages here.
Absolutely. So my chat's acting a little wonky, and I think a few people are having that problem, but Dr. Vicky, it seems like you're able to see it pretty smoothly, so I'll ask you to compare my notes on my list.
I have Ione first.
I do as well. So, Ione, we're wishing you the absolute best, and you're going through a tough time. And let's see. Tonight, I have number 20, Deliberate Intent. This is in the spirituality suit. The simple act of intention it registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sends energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is that you desire. It's not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience.
Well, Ione, I don't know if you're kind of feeling a challenge with finances or someone in particular who owes you finances. I'm not sure, but I picked the page of Swords, you know, in support of deliberate intent, and I thought, what's that about? And then it came the Ten of Diamonds. So I think that what I want to say is shake something off, like shake it off. And whether it's a negative or an irritant or a fear, just shake it off. And that deliberate intent can laser through better. So if there's anything that you're feeling, perhaps an emotion about something, I want to say shake it off. And things are going to go smoother. So there's more and better coming is what I want to say.
I like it.
Hope that makes sense in some way. So we have Zach Smith next, Michael.
All right, and for Zach Smith, I have number 25, also in the spirituality suit, Power of Belief. Let's see. Belief is the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is a belief and means lying to oneself to evade responsibility. Ponder your beliefs to see if they are healthy or unhealthy, and proceed with conviction.
Well, I got the Two of Hearts in support of that, Zach Smith. And I say Zach Smith because we also have a Zach Frame, and I just want to be real clear about that. Two of Hearts in support of the Power of Belief is believing in partnerships, promises. It's about trust. And You know, I said to somebody the other day, when you're meeting somebody new, be new. Like, don't bring your past with you. And so if there's anything, and it's not to say you aren't in a relationship now, I don't know, but if there's anything that's of the past, it's like that's another shake it off kind of thing. It's believing in what's in front of you. See what's in front of you and believe in that. And if there's any shadows that need to be shown, they'll certainly highlight. Whenever I look at somebody and I think about medical readings, I see a bright, shiny light. If there's anything there that is ill or not well, the shadows appear. And that's why I want to say the power of belief. Believe in love, believe in trust, and believe in that. And if there's anything that needs to be shown, you'll see it pretty quick. So.
All right.
So we have Dr. Mike next. Glad to see you here, Dr. Mike.
Ah, good catch. I did not actually have Dr. Mike on my list. I had Santana
right.
next. But
okay.
All right, let's see. Dr. Mike. I have number 42, trust integrity. Integrity means being true to oneself, intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
So I don't know if somebody's irritated you, Mike, or you're disappointed in someone, because from trust and integrity, I pulled the devil, and I went, well, that's a little conflict, shade of gray. So what does that mean? And then I pulled the three of diamonds, which is about faith and belief and that sense of knowingness, peace with yourself. And so it might be that an irritation that you've had with someone and knowing that it's temporary. And what I want to say is some things are not correctable. I don't know why I want to say that to you. I mean, in other words, it is what it is. Kind of like two people who have very different political views, and you got to decide if you still want that somebody in your life when the politics kind of reflect who they are. In their thinking, you think, ooh, I'm not so sure about that. It's just have faith in yourself in this case and trusting your own integrity in that way. So I don't know how that plays, Mike, but that's what I get from that message.
All right, good card.
So now we have Santana.
All right, and Santana, for you, you get wild card number 9, blank.
And, ooh, blank is a big one.
Oh, I say my chat kind of catches up if I'm on a different screen. By the way, just to point out, Dr. Mike actually had that card before in February, so a little bit of repeat
ooh.
There.
Yeah.
But Santana, I have number 9 blank wild card. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It is what you need it to be. It is all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
All right, well, I got the 7 of diamonds in support of that, Santana. You know, this is a time to take inventory, I think. Take inventory that you've done well to get to this point. And where you're going is creating more. So I always see the 7 of diamonds as the harvest card. So you're creating and going to be able to harvest that. But harvest what you have, and then there's more to come. So I really want to support anything as possible. And, you know, we only dream within the frame we know, Michael, right?
Very true.
So sometimes the dream is bigger and unknowable. Blank does that. It's beyond your wildest dreams. Anything is possible.
I like it. All right. So,
Mike, I'm just going to say some of the feedback in there. Dr. Mike said anyone he had an issue with ended when he retired. So that's good to know. But there still could be something that comes up from the past in that way or somebody you'd worked with. I don't know. It could be. I'd be looking forward to hearing some feedback on that in the future.
All right. And All right, I have Dr. Depp next. Is that on your list as well? Perfect. I think we're syncing up. I have wild card number 7, Hope. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last fail-safe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
Good news on the way for you, Deb. Page of Diamonds is a communication card, but good news in... it doesn't have to be financial, right? It can be anything of the physical world. So the work that you put into something has its reward. So there's value for value and energy. So I think you're turning a corner in some way. You're going to get some good news, and I think it's within the next 7 days. So, that came out of nowhere, Michael. So
very interesting.
Yeah.
I like it. All right. Yep. Next 7 days.
Yep.
All right. I think we have Dr. Kevin.
Jerry next. Jerry.
Good catch. Yep. All right. Jerry, I have number 18, evolution. Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort. But fear not, personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, entropy is lowered.
Well, Jerry, I love it that the Strength card is in support of evolution. I think you're in a bit of a learning curve. And you know how we can continue to grow and learn? I think of it kind of a computer and the software. And then one day we turn a corner and we say, oh, I got to change something in my hard drive to make room for more software. And that's kind of what I'm seeing here. But you're absolutely ready for it. So there's a realization, an awakening, an epiphany, aha moment of, you know, your brain kind of reconfiguring, oh, now that makes sense. So I think you're on a roll. It's starting to make sense.
All right.
Yeah.
Real quick, I did see that Dr. Deb had thrown in chat that her treatment ends tomorrow, so only good things to come. So very happy to hear that.
For those who don't know, Dr. Deb had been having cancer treatments. That is so good to know, Deb. Your last treatment tomorrow. Congratulations. That's awesome.
I love it. All right.
Kevin.
Real quick, yes, of course. Jerry was asking, what was the tarot card, Dr. Vicky?
Strength.
All right. Very good. All right, Kevin. Another wild card. It's a wild card kind of night. This is one of my favorites, wild card number 1, Paradox. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas. One sec. Excuse me, I thought I could stave off that sneeze, but it just wasn't going to go away. Let's see. Sorry to ruin the vibe there, but all right, we're talking about truth being found in contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first. Thus, new perspectives are discovered.
Well, in support of Paradox, I got the Page of Hearts, Page of Cups, Kevin. You know, there's good things in both paths. That's what I want to say. Even though it's a contradiction in terms, it's still good news coming in either way. So I want to say choose your way, what makes sense to you. So again, what seems good may not be, what doesn't seem good could be, but I'm thinking it's just uncomfortable when it's a way that's foreign. That's what I want to say to you. So I want to say, be like water. Go with the flow of what makes sense to you. That's what I want to say.
All right. I think we have Wendy next. Is that who you have as well?
That's who I have, yes.
All right, and I believe that's also our last card, so correct me
it
if I'm
is.
Wrong.
Yep.
All right, Wendy, so excited to have you on next week. And again, just thank you for being our card keeper and looking at those patterns. For you, I have number 16, continuity of life. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with the continuity and flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter may begin.
Okay, so I pull the death card, Wendy. Please, nobody freak out about that. It's new beginnings. So when you talk about continuity of life, it's like a new chapter opening. It's like letting go of yesterday, moving into tomorrow. But there's a segue. And sometimes when we cross those bridges, it can feel, you know, like a little swaying bridge from one side to the other. It feels like wobbly. But it's the continuity of life. That's how it happens. So I think you're in for a change here, Wendy. Now, because I pulled the death card, I did pull a second one, and that was the Two of Diamonds. And that just says that balance. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say there could be something changing with regard to your work. A position change, some kind of a shift there. So that is part of your continuity of continue to grow and expand and decide how you want to maintain that balance in your life. So I like it myself, but again, some people say, no, I don't want things to change. But I think change is good.
Absolutely.
I do. Yeah.
All right, well said. And, of course, Wendy, our card keeper, pointed out that she had this card back in March. So another repeat there. Very interesting. But, and, you know, I just am thinking about that last thing you said. Change is not always fun. But change is also hope. When things are not going well, when things are rough, you know that change is inevitable. So change also brings hope.
You know, I want to remind people, and we're going to talk more about this next week, but the cycles and patterns of life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've been watching a lot of politics out in the world. And,
oh, yeah.
And I just see patterns repeating, different expression of the same thing, you know, and, oh, here we go again. You know, and for the grace of age, and I know there's a few of us, you know, in the chat and otherwise, who are old enough to look back in decades to say, well, that happened 40 years ago. That happened 20 years ago, you know. And here we go. It's a pattern. And we do have these patterns and cycles that we all go through. Sometimes they're very small. Sometimes they're bigger. But, you know, it's we are that evolution as it goes. And sometimes we have to get hit by cosmic 2x4s to say, you've already done this before. You don't need to do this again. But all right then, you know, and so it's I appreciate that in life. I mean, sometimes I do. I think my face reads too well, raising my eyebrows to some people. It's you know, just kind of weathering the storms of life, and that's the way it goes. And I take comfort. So my final moment here is, I take comfort knowing that we are not all there is, that there are many interdimensional life forms and, you know, layers going on, that I don't take myself so seriously. I don't take this so seriously because, oh, there's a lot more going on in the universe than this stuff. So, you know.
Very well said.
That's,
and
it's comfort to me.
It should be. I know that there are those out there that would look at the immensity, the infinite nature of our reality and existence, and the thought that we could be just one among many can make them feel insignificant. And I say, don't follow that path. Instead, what you said just now, Dr. Vicky, embrace it, take comfort in it, knowing that you are among a community of life and intelligence that is out there. So I love the way you said that. And, you know, it's that time of the evening. You know, I've really loved this discussion. I've always had a fondness for questions that we have very few, you know, solid answers for. And when we talk about interdimensional, we are, you know, going off a lot. I've always said, when you don't know, when you don't have a even playing field of reference and perspective, I mean, for all we know, it could be aliens, you know, zapping telepathic thoughts into our brains just to mess with us, you know. Of course, that's highly unlikely, but the point being. But no, this is a fascinating discussion. We talk about, you know, what are we talking about when we say interdimensional beings? And that's entities and phenomena that exist beyond our perception. Exactly. And we know there's so much that exists beyond our perception. So, great conversation, great chat tonight. Thank you, everybody, for your contributions. And before we sign off, Dr. Vicky, any last thoughts?
Oh, you know, I'm getting so hooked on this. Don't let them push you around out there.
I love it. I love it.
So just be you, guys. Just do you. And, you know, let me tell you a quick story. Yeah. I had an art class yesterday. I'm taking an art class down at the Art Center. And my daughter and I get to hang out for 3 hours. It's awesome, doing clay. And I left, and I'm crossing the parking lot, and this woman decides to half back out of her space. And then she stops, takes a drink of water, you know, out of her thermos. And I don't know if I should go behind her, in front of her. There's a woman coming from the other direction. We're both perplexed. I think, well, she stopped. I'm going to go behind her. But as I go behind her, she starts backing out. And then she starts laughing. Oh, well. And I just couldn't even react. I kept walking. I thought, people are losing their minds.
All I can say is that
mine is intact. Good to go.
I know, really, right? All I can say is I'm glad that happens in Canada too. But well,
so don't let them push you around out there, people. Don't let them incite you to become them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hold on to your own power.
That's right.
Well, looking forward to Wendy joining us next week, special guest, and we'll have a great discussion. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.